Please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs this morning, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we will read verses 1 through 4 for our text. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I guess on Father's Day Sunday, to me, it's just a real tender Sunday. I imagine all you fathers feel that way, but I really do. I appreciate you ladies singing Faith of Our Fathers. And I was thinking as you were doing that, some of my daughters were here and granddaughters and singing. And you just wonder, you know, you think about what an awesome privilege and responsibility it is to be in the position of a father. And it really is the order of nature that God gives us of natural things. And it's true that where you are today, now I'm talking about in your heart, in your soul, in your life, is really directly coordinated or proportional to your relationship with your father. First, your heavenly Father. That is the most important thing about any of us. But I believe our earthly fathers have a lot to do with who we are and why we are who we are. Now, that involves some positives and negatives, if you will, but I want you to know, and I believe you do, that fathers are a big influence. And that's why that as we men look at this day and we look to God, because that's the only way we're going to find any answers. But we see in the scriptures that we're to hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. And the thing that we need to deal with is are we giving those instructions? Are we living those instructions that God has given us? And I want to talk about that this morning. I've entitled what I want to try to say, Father to Father. For it is from God we find these instructions, but God uses fathers to contribute to the righteousness, if you will, to His people, His children. When we look at children, we need to be reminded they're not ours. They're not. But God has entrusted us with souls and lives that are His. I'll tell you, I have in my ministry lately, I just have admired, I guess, men that look after their children that are fathers. I think about my son-in-laws. I have three wonderful son-in-laws, and I believe that all three of them are better men than I've ever been or ever could be. But you know what stands out to me? How they treat their children. And you know, I really want you to think about it. I believe that's how God looks at us, because as fathers, how are we treating His children? Are we taking that responsibility as we ought to nurture them? And to love them, and certainly to discipline them, because that is a part of it. I want to say three things today before we go very far in this time together, because I know this is a special day, and I appreciate, as I said earlier, so many families being together. To pay tribute to your father, that's what Solomon was doing here. Of course, this was David and Bathsheba, his father Solomon, paying tribute to David and Bathsheba. And so what a blessing. as we pay tribute to our fathers. But I want you to notice in the first verse, it says, "Hear ye children the instructions of a father." It implies that he's got to get their attention. And we're living in a world where you know, parents are really not paid a lot of attention to in a lot of cases. And so I want to start off with a point that is probably something kind of different, but I want to talk about wounds. I want to talk about wounds because wounds is what you're known by. You take a wound, that is an injury, something that hurts, and that's what discipline does. Now, I'm not about to try to tell anybody up here how to discipline their children. I'm not. All I'm going to tell you is father, what a father tells a father, because fathers do discipline children. Our Heavenly Father disciplined those that He loves. And I'm afraid that we men have failed in this way. I know that I have. And I think it's because of our representative Adam that sinned against God and then hid in the garden. And God came looking for him and Eve, but you remember he said, "Where art thou, Adam?" He never mentioned Eve. We're living in a world, we have a breakdown in society. I don't have to tell you that. It's not just starting. And it's because there's no discipline. I mean, it's because people do what they want to do, and for some reason, we have been taught that you can do no work and get paid more in our world today. And then we have a government that says, the best way to fix families is to give everybody $1,000 for having a baby. Now that makes a lot of sense. Doesn't matter if you're married or not, I suppose. What we need, I believe, is from a father, from God, is that we need godly men to be in the family in a position that God has placed us in. To love our children, to love our wives, and most of all, to love God. But it's the wounds that is hard to get by. Yesterday, I was thinking. I got a pole saw. You ever seen a pole saw? I mean, I was a big guy out there in that yard in my pecan orchard cutting off limbs. I mean, I was a big daddy. I was cutting them off. I mean, I just ripped through there. I was in control. If one was hanging a little low at a little angle I didn't like, I just sliced it off. But here's the deal. I thought about this through the sweat. You got to pick up the limbs. You hear me? You got to pick up the limbs. That's what fathers have to do. You don't just discipline your children. You don't just do this, that, and the other. You got to pick up the limbs. Because sometimes fathers get wounded too. But you can't live in bitterness. You got to pick up the limbs. You got to have forgiveness. And you just don't lay them there. Nobody's going to do it for you, fathers. Nobody. I wasn't going to get anybody to come by. My neighbors wasn't going to come by and say, hey, Randy, I'll pick up those limbs for you. That wasn't going to happen. But we know that pruning is necessary in our spiritual lives. And so here, Solomon is saying, let's get your attention first. The thing that'll get our attention is a disciplined love and authority from a loving daddy. That gets your attention. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes we were healed. And it's his wounds that's the only thing that Jesus carried from earth to heaven, his wounds. And I'll tell you, I needed a lot more whippings from my daddy than I got. But I'm sure that it's the discipline, it's the restraints in our life, it's the capacity to deal with pain and to go on with life and deal with failure and disappointment. See, all that's a discipline. And even in our schools, you know, I'm not a teacher. Some of you teachers, we really thank you for what you do. And you may correct me, but I understand now, you know, we're not having to memorize multiplication tables. That's a discipline. I was reading somewhere the other day, that teachers now, you have to focus on developing the personality. You don't discipline anybody in that way. But what is the results of that? We have graduates from high school, I'm told, that don't know how to do basic arithmetic. I'm going to tell you, you've got to know how to do life. And I want you to know that every child is born a sinner. We are fallen. We are degenerate. We are spiritually dead until God quickens us. And if you think you're just going to let that develop without discipline it, no, you can't give it spiritual life. But I'm going to tell you what, you can set a course in the right direction. Father to father, he says, hear my instructions. But see, a wounded spirit, according to Proverbs 18:14, cannot stand. Discipline by itself is not enough. I mean, you gotta work with, you gotta pick up the limbs. We can't discipline our children in anger. The thing is, guys, we need to discipline ourselves. Why this is such a tender spot for me, I can only imagine. I'm gonna tell you what, every sermon I try to preach, if I can't preach it to Randy, I cannot preach it to you. See, we're none better than the next one. But if the truth were told, there's a lot of skeletons in the closets of men's lives and probably women's too because of their relationship with their father. We need to deal with it, both for ourselves and for the influence that we have in our lives. Look over with me at an interesting verse. Jesus said in Matthew 10, that he did not come. This is kind of a different kind of scripture to think about. Matthew 10, I think it's verse 34. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He goes on to say, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. I want to tell you, if you're wounded in your family, you are hurt. It's a deep hurt. There's no trouble worse than homemade trouble. And I'm going to tell you this about a wound. A clean wound will heal. It might leave a scar, but it'll heal. What is Jesus talking about? He's not talking about we need to go against them. No, he's talking about there's a possibility that a child can be born again and a daddy not. There's a possibility of that a mother or a daughter or vice versa. And then that means that when God saves you by his grace, things change in your life, your priorities, your desires. He goes on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So the whole key of disciplining our lives, our love, our families, is to love God the most. because they come from Him. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 quickly. I wanted to share a verse there. Father to father. Let's look at verse 1 through 4 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now it's right whether your parents are Christians or not to obey them. Unless that parent tries to get you to do something wrong or against God, we're to obey our parents. Honor thy, and this is why, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That is, there's relationship, a relational context to obeying our parents. That is, it affects our lives. That's why I said what we have, our relationship with our father, has a lot to do with where we are right now. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Does not mean that a person that does that will necessarily live to be 90 or 100 years old. It means, as I understand it, that God is pleased with it. But look at what he says to fathers. And ye fathers, you, me, provoke not your children to wrath. Did you know we can do that? God says don't do it. I'm just saying what the father says to the father. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, discipline is a part of the economy of family life. But you don't do it to belittle that child. You don't do it to for a selfish reason. You have to mix law and grace. See, that's what he's talking about. What is the law? That's God's moral law. But it's fixed upon grace. He says, don't provoke the wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you something. I struggle when you mention this, and I don't mean any disrespect to my daddy. I believe that he's in heaven. I believe that I saw God's grace in that man's life, but he wasn't always like that. I was not a preacher then, far from it. But I want to tell you, my daddy provoked me to wrath. Is that right? No. I've repented of it. But I saw my daddy abuse my mama. I saw my daddy drink liquor. I had to go in bar rooms to break up fights he was in when I was 16 years old. I remember on Highway 80 around Blitzton, Georgia, I got a call that he was down there in the truck and stopped. And when I got there, the first thing I did was got in the back of the truck, took all the beer out the cases and threw it in the middle of the highway. You think that was right? No, I'm ashamed of it. But why did it happen? It happened because my daddy, and what I didn't understand, see, it wasn't my daddy, it was sin. See, everybody's not saved. My daddy wasn't saved then. I don't even know if I was. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that daddies can do that can promote their children to wrath, and we need to stop. And we need to ask God to forgive us. And even if your daddy is gone, that you go to God and you find that, because I'm going to tell you what, it is so critical that we have a right relationship with daddy. I remember before my daddy passed away, though, I was going to have prayer with him. I never will forget the day he said, Randy, let me have prayer with you. He prayed with me that day. So wounds are important, and we understand that discipline is a part of being a father. And it's a part we don't like because we don't know how to do it. It's why my wife is so correct when she says, Randy, why do I have to do all the fussing with these kids when they were little? See, I'd walk outside, get on the lawn more. See, you got to pick up the limbs. You can wear the britches around your house if you want, but I'm going to tell you what, you got to pick up the limbs. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with what the wounds created. Secondly, I want you to understand the witness that fathers have. Look at this Proverbs again. To get their attention. Sometimes we have to have our heads cracked before we can think. We have to be broken before we can really appreciate God. That's just the way it is. He says in verse 3, "For I was my father's son and tender and unbeloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto him," or to me, "let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Now, here I want us to notice Solomon's call for the powerful witness that a father's instructions have. I'm going to tell you, this world is a very difficult place to live. And I commend you parents, particularly you young parents that have children in the world today. I'm going to tell you what. You need God more than you've ever needed anything else before. But I'm going to tell you, the Christian, now this is for all parents, but for the Christian in particular, here is where evangelism is paramount in the fact that right in the home, see, that is where lives are built. That's where your standard, it's not trying to find some school that is a so-called Christian school and try to get your child in some kind of bubble kind of life where they won't be exposed to a curse word or same-sex marriage or something like that. No, you teach in the homes how they're supposed to live. And you do that by how you live. You don't want your child to drink beer? Don't drink beer yourself. I mean, you buckle your seatbelt, they'll do what you do. But it's a powerful witness because when God, if you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you what, it changes your whole life. It affects your marriage, your parenting, every part of your life, your work. It's a big deal to be a Christian because God has shed His blood for you. And you are His. And yet He entrusts you to make decisions. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a world that has so much tragedy and loss. I don't have to tell you what's in the news today. And the reprobate mind that seems to be a part of God's chastening to us. How in the world a father could murder three precious girls like we saw? I don't know. It's a witness, being a father. You know, the Bible says that the teachings of a father are safety. It's just like a strong tower. We run to it and are safe. You think about Moses and Aaron and Miriam. You realize those children grew up in a slavehood in Goshen. That's where they grew up. But Amram, their father, and Jochebed, their mother, feared God in the midst of a king who said, "I want all the babies killed." And they put that little Moses, we ran that not long ago, you remember, in an ark, a little bulrush, a little boat in the river. But those three kids grew up to fear God. And we find in the Hebrews 11 and verse 23 or so, where Moses would not partake of the world. Rather, he chose to be with the people of God. Why? Because they were taught where safety was in God. And the ark, you know, I can go on with the ark. The ark, we know, is a type of Christ. That's the instructions that a father gives. No, we don't have to know all about theology, but we need to live according to the instructions of God. And God is pretty clear on that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure God out. You don't have to go to seminary to understand what's right and what God has called us to do. And the truth is, we're all sinners. And we need a Savior, fathers included. And we have one, and that's the gospel. We're no better than the next one, including our children. We're not. You know, I remember, I've shared this with you before. I remember a little boy, as a young, a teenager. I never heard my daddy, now I'm not, I don't know, I'm saying you do, I encourage you to, whether you say prayers at your meals or not. But I want to tell you what it did to me. I worked one summer down with a friend of mine, Mike Saxon, his daddy Calvin Saxon, down in Blue Stilts, building a chicken house one summer. I was maybe 16 years old. And I remember going in that house, and Miss Saxon would have lunch every day, had dinner every day. And Calvin Saxon, Mike's daddy, before every meal, prayed. You say, well, that's nothing to that. It was to me. It was a witness to me that a man needs to say something to God. God tells us to pray to Him. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. Do you think God is going to listen to us if we're not going to listen to Him? Tell me. Fathers, hear my instructions, God says. That is your witness. You're a salt in the light of the world. I'll tell you about me. I don't give a riff if my sermons go down the drain. Most of them should. I'm going to tell you what, I want to leave my daughters and my son-in-laws and my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they want to say this, this man believed Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. This man had hope. Doesn't matter what the world brings or what circumstances come, it is because that God is a living God. And Corbett DeLoach is right, He's a miracle God and He works them every day. And we need to live like we believe it. And we don't need to be feel like we're defeated and we can't do it. But I'm going to tell you, what we need is daddies that look for divinity. Daddies that come and nurture their children and not afraid to discipline them with authority but love. And to live a life of the witness that they're always going to trust in God. No matter what. There's one more before we go. Not only the wounds to get our attention and the dads to do it. I remember reading just in a side road of that. You know, Rome was the country was considered to be the greatest empire. You know what happened? It wasn't some military that overtook them. It was the ball games, the pleasures. The devil is good at deceiving. What he tries to do is get us to think about the good, but we forget the better. See, that's what God is about. But the last thing I want to say is work. Notice Let my heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I want you to say, see with me, Father, your work is not over. Whether you got any children or not. You say, well, I'm a grandfather. I got great-grandchildren. I said, what in the world does this kind of message have to do with me? You know what it said? You know what God said to Moses? Just before he died? In Deuteronomy 6, God was about to bring his people in the promised land, and Moses wasn't going to go because of a sin he committed. You remember? But Moses was told by God, says, teach your children. You hear my instructions and you tell your fathers. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, we find that he says, you tell the fathers to tell their children to remember me. And that's what we're about. That is a work. How do we do that? That's the question. I'll tell you the only way. God has an answer for every problem. He says in Ephesians 5:18 that we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're not to be drunk with wine, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. And that's the only way for a man or a woman, for that matter, to be the person God has called us to be. In the context of our lives, the old paths, Jeremiah 6:16, turn ye and walk in the old paths. I mean, we're all a work in progress. I'm in my 70s. I haven't got this father thing right yet, but I want it to be what God has called me to be. Because here's the deal. I believe that we're going to be accountable to God for how we treat His children and our parents. I believe that. No, it's not going to be a matter of getting to heaven and hell for it, but I'm going to tell you, God is going to call us on it. And I'm going to tell you, if you have breath in your heart right now, in your lungs, and you have a wound in your heart, I mean, you go to God with it. You go to your Heavenly Father. But if your child is on an erring path, and sometimes they get that way, you know what the prodigal father did? That man had to be wounded. But he didn't let that wound keep him from loving his child. The Bible says he met him and he embraced him and he restored him to everything he had before. Sometimes I think we like our children to be like what we want them to be, but they have to be their own personality. They do. They have to be who they are. And what we're to do, I believe, as fathers, is to prepare them for leaving. Because God calls a man to leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife. And that's our plot in this life, in that little span of time, to prepare them for that. Thank you that have done that so valiantly, courageously, and have nurtured your children. Keep on keeping on, is all I got to say. The world needs us. Needs you so much. May the Lord bless us all to admit, confess our sins, to come to Jesus, to find that cleansing and strength. The thing about the Holy Spirit, when He's filled us, we will have two things. We'll have power and we'll have control. Power and control. That's what you got to have to be a father. And it comes from God, you see. It comes from Him. He is the source. That's really what father to me. But you guys are a source of mercy and goodness in your child's or your family's life. Not that you are the one that makes them believe, but you pave the road so that when God deals with them, they are ready and they are willing by His grace, and they will remember the precepts of a godly father. You know that's true. Many of you are sitting here, some of you even with your father, you know that is important. And you do know that some of your worst wounds coming from a loving father have been the greatest blessings of your life. Let's pick up the limbs. Let's thank God for the glory of just being able to work in His vineyard. It's all His. It's His glory. And let's do all to that attainment. Let's bow together. Lord, we thank You so much for this day. Thank You, Lord, for our daddies, our fathers on earth. But we know, Lord, You are our Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to claim the inheritance as godly children that You have given us through the blood of Christ. Lord, we get so concerned about this world, we forget about what's going on in our homes. We're so bent on cutting off all the limbs of what people are wrong, even our children, but we don't want to pick them up. We don't want to have to deal with them. We want to just let them lay there. Lord, forgive us. Give us strength and wisdom. We sure need it. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, especially in the context of our families. Thank You, Lord, for family love. Bring us back, Lord, to the nurturing and admonition of the Lord right in the homes. It's the best place that Christ can be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.